Fantasy Freaks and Geeks, what's up on a beautiful Friday? Week 17. Here we go. The last Friday podcast in a while. In a while, baby. All right, we got a big time show in front of us here today. We've got a full cast of characters. We've got the magical beard of fantasy himself. The master of the phone-in.
Ah.
Matt Franciscovich.
Hey, hey. It's been a while.
It has been a while. Ooh. You're in studio today, so it's good.
I'm in studio.
I'm excited.
Yep, me too. Going to be fun.
Dare I say I'm fired up.
That doesn't sound that excited.
Fired up!
The Whiz Kid from Wisconsin, Alex Kalehorn, what's cracking?
Not much. Just to cue everybody in so they don't panic when it's the last Friday podcast for a while. We're still going to do off-season podcasts.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
One a week. I think Wednesday is the day that we're going to be taping and releasing.
Are we doing one next Wednesday?
I would think so.
Okay.
We got playoff challenge.
Let's go.
To talk about. Be good company men.
Let's do it.
Some look backs.
I know.
And, all that jazz, you know.
Okay. MG, my guy Marcus Grant.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
All that.
Happy all that holidays.
Stuff. Happy holidays.
Happy Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa.
Good. Wearing a full-on hipster beanie. We got the man from West Virginia himself, Matt Harmon.
Well, you know, I woke up today and it was raining. So
yes.
I was like, well.
You didn't want to do the hair.
Well, it was like, I'm going to get, what's the point of doing my hair? And then I'm going to walk the dog and it's going to get messed up anyways.
I see. So you just went beanie
so I was
today.
Like, just
what if you did your hair after you walked the dog?
Doesn't work like that, pal.
I see.
It interrupts the process.
Okay. So I was like, well.
Fair question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's worth the question.
Okay.
It's worth the question.
Okay. Still questionable decision wearing the beanie to work.
What do you
that's
mean?
Good.
What?
Why
is this the guy who comes in with backwards hats all the time?
Hey, listen, that is cool. Okay.
Give this. Me a break, Dad. It does not hide the rest of it.
Fair enough. All right, fair enough. Big time show in front of us here today. As we mentioned, we're going to be giving you an update on the OG, the Bearded, and the Danger Zone leagues. We'll talk about best waiver wire pickup of the year. We shall vote Matt Ryan, Robert Kelly, Tyrell Williams, Tyreek Hill, and Davante Adams are your nominees for best waiver wire pickup. We'll talk about their individual resumes coming up. We're also going to vote on the fieriest phoner of the year.
Ah,
I like that. Oh, excuse me, I just yawned.
Holy. We just got started.
Well, I didn't just wake up now.
Jeez. All right. We're going to be voting on that. I promise you, you will enjoy that one. We're saving that one for last. Daily daps to close out the show. But as always, we start our show with your top headlines.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
The whistles go woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
Watch the news. Because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to have your kids,
have
your wife.
All right, to be 100% honest, I didn't want to do news. Alex Gelhar, being the very good and polite young man that he is, said, well, what about those Week 17 people? I said, screw those Week 17 people.
Friends don't let friends play Week 17.
How rude.
But the Wiz was one out because he said, hey, man, you got to think about the listeners. I'm like,
Plenty of people playing DFS.
Fine.
We'll talk a little actual football before we get into more of the BS later.
All right. We'll talk about Week 17. Melvin Gordon in San Diego is out. What do you do there in San Diego if you're playing a San Diego running back, Marcus Grant?
Don't play a San Diego running back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ronnie Hillman.
Unless you're excited to see Ronnie Hillman's 12 carries for 11 yards in your fantasy box score on the end of the day on Sunday, I would not play him.
I can't imagine anybody's excited for that.
In Minnesota, I guess the lesson there in San Diego is, first of all, hire new trainers.
Seriously. Yeah.
What is the...
Seriously.
I mean, really, though. Have they invested $0
in
their training staff?
I can't just believe this having happened, two or three years in a row? Wait,
that's exactly right.
It's just not a coincidence anymore.
That's exactly right.
But some injuries are, freaky. You can't be trained against type injuries.
I guess there is some of that, but I don't know.
Yes. I mean, Keenan Allen with a lacerated spleen last year or whatever, or lacerated kidneys, whatever it is. Yeah. That's a flu, but I mean, just the preponderance of knee and ankle and soft tissue injuries.
Lot, yeah.
It's like, man,
that's not good.
That's a discussion for another time.
Okay,
though,
but
the San Diego training staff.
Let's in Minnesota, Stephon Diggs doubtful. Adam Thielen went off to the tune of 15 receptions for 400 yards last week.
I think that's accurate,
give or take.
What did he really have?
202.
202
touchdowns.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Adam Thielen.
He's a great play this week against the Bears. I think for those playing or those looking at DFS, he's probably still a value. And he's been their best wide receiver for a while as Diggs has been battling numerous injuries.
It's true. It's true. What do you do with Diggs next year, though? I mean, we're talking about a guy that when he plays and when he's healthy has looked like, as we saw in Minnesota's previous game against Green Bay, awesome. He's magnificent. But injuries have taken their toll, no doubt about it.
He's also moved around a lot when Pat Shurmur took over. The farther and farther they got into that regime, they moved him more into the slot and only targeted him on like short area throws, whereas, like you mentioned, that Green Bay game, he was making plays all over the field. Mm. So I think that if he's healthy, which is, you know, a big question mark, I think you look at him as a potential, you know, top 12 wide receiver.
Wow.
Even because he showed that kind of potential on a week-to-week basis.
It's true. It's true, but even going back into last year, injuries have always been a concern.
And in college too, as I remember when I watched him in college, I was like, "This guy doesn't have an NFL future." But then realizing, like now, you were watching him play injured a lot in his last year in college. Where earlier in college, he was a good player.
All right, there you go. In Dallas, Ezekiel Elliott may or may not play. Jerry Jones says he will play, though. Maybe that's the only thing that matters. I don't know. Jerry Jones says he's going to play, and he's going to play, quote, a lot. Why? Well, even though Dallas has pretty much locked up everything, they're not really playing for too much there.
They have. They can't. They're not playing for anything. So other than the first 14-win season in Dallas history.
Ah. Is that right? They've never had a 14-win season? Really?
That's kind of amazing.
That's kind of interesting. All right.
I believe I saw that somewhere. Excuse me. Let me double check while you go on about Zeke here.
Ezekiel Elliott sitting there at 631 in terms of rush yards. The rookie
1631?
1631. Sorry. 1631 rushing yards, which is great. The NFL rookie rushing record, owned by Eric Dickerson, 1808. So he's 177 rush yards away.
Seems like a lot.
I mean,
it's a lot. It's
seems
a lot.
Like a lot.
He'd have to play the whole game.
Not only would he have to play the
whole
game,
he'd have to have a dominant game.
Yeah.
He'd have to have a crazy dominant.
Has he even had that many rushing yards in a game this year?
I don't think
he
has.
How many away is he?
177.
177. I don't. He has not.
And for the record, Dallas has never had a 14-win season.
His rushing high this year is 159.
I mean,
yeah, so that's a lot to ask.
That's ridiculous.
I don't even know if they're really gunning for that record as much, but it does seem to be, and I can kind of understand this with the fact that they have two rookies at their most important positions on their offense.
Yeah.
It does seem to be that Dallas wants to go into the playoffs with more momentum and wants these guys to continue to get better and continue to feel it.
I think that makes sense.
That makes sense. But we've also heard whispers of like, oh, Mark Sanchez might play.
Right.
Tony Romo might get some reps.
I know.
Like, it's kind of a mess there. Nobody knows what's going to happen.
Jerry Jones is the master of throwing conversation grenades.
Yes. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I want Tony Romo to come in for two series and just have two touchdown drives. That's what I want.
I don't.
I want that.
Nobody wants
it. And I want him to have no incompletions. I want him to throw a 50-yard bomb. I just want...
I
James,
why?
James I want, Coe, agent of chaos.
I did. That's exactly what I just. I want them conversation pieces starting.
Well, you know, James is a radio guy now, and we know that.
Oh my god!
We know that those radio shock jocks.
I'm a shock jock.
Yeah, you're a shock jock.
I'm a shock jock.
Well, the Dallas Cowboys bench Dak Prescott and go with Tony Romo to the playoffs. I'm James Coe coming back at 11 o'clock.
The worst part about it is because the Cowboys have a bye, it would be a 2-week conversation.
I know.
Ugh.
That's what I want.
Yeah, nobody wants that.
James,
that's
what I want. No.
Stop.
That is what I want. You're a villain. I am straight.
I don't know. If you have Zeke, though, I think it might be worth playing him in the hopes that he goes two or three quarters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or even just, I mean, he has such high touchdown upside.
Is he playable in DFS?
No.
Nah, I wouldn't play him in DFS. There's too many other good values with guys like DeJuan Harris and Brandon Wiles, potentially, and
Jizrod.
Jizrod.
Sad list.
Jaquizz Rodgers. Somebody on Twitter referred to him as Jizrod, and we all about died.
As you can imagine, why?
I cannot believe you just dropped that.
This will be our last podcast. Well, so that was
fun. Nobody
that
important
was fun.
Listens to this.
Yeah. That was fun.
That was fun.
It's a nickname.
His name is. It starts with a J, ends with some Z's, and then his last name is Rodgers. Rod.
Right. It makes
what
sense.
What are you implying?
Nothing. Nothing. J. J. He has an injured shoulder. He's questionable for Sunday's game.
Moving on.
I don't know. What do you do there in Miami if you're a J. J. owner?
You play him.
Play him.
Play him.
He's been limited in practice all week.
Okay.
I think if it was severe enough where they weren't going to use him in a regular role, then he wouldn't be practicing the way he's practicing.
Do the Dolphins have anything to play for? Can they improve their seeding at all in this? I think
they can.
Are they locked into the fifth seed?
I think they can improve it and try and dodge Pittsburgh because they're the sixth right now.
Right.
So they can potentially jump up to the five and avoid going into Pittsburgh. And
try to get the Matt McGloin-led Raiders or the
Chiefs.
Tom Savage-led.
That's what I was thinking. There you go.
In Pittsburgh, speaking of, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Big Ben will not play, according to Coach Mike Tomlin. Backup running back. Give me a wide receiver that might, you know, pop in this game.
Eli Rogers, baby.
Okay.
I've heard a couple reports that he's going to get a ton of run.
I think
Bob Holzman from ESPN said that Eli Rogers is going to get a ton of run. And backfield wise, it looked like Fitzgerald Toussaint.
That's what I was going to say. Toussaint?
Then they said D-Will is going to get some run. So
I still think Fitz probably gets a lot of run in this one, though. I can't imagine they're going to risk D'Angelo Williams too much.
It's true.
Game.
The only thing is, Williams is rusty. I mean, he's obviously very important. Like, if Bell was to, God forbid, get hurt in their first playoff game, they would win that game anyways. They would like to have Williams there to be the bell cow the next week, but he's been injured for months now. I don't think he's taking a play in a minute.
So you're saying they might want to get him some reps?
They might want to get him some reps, but I agree that Toussaint would probably be the guy.
If you are a Lev Bell owner in week 17 –
sorry about your luck.
Yeah.
But give the guys out there, who would you prefer, D'Angelo Williams or Fitzgerald Toussaint in this game?
Toussaint for me.
Yeah, I'm leaning Toussaint.
Matt yeah, on. Sure. I don't know. I mean, this is the problem. You're playing a real guessing game there with what you think is the because I imagine they get Williams out there for a little bit, and you know it's the Browns. Like, he could easily make do on the first drive. The problem is, though,
you know what's interesting? I guess both guys could pop, really.
Yeah,
both guys could pop, or neither could, because you know. By the way, Ben Roethlisberger not playing either.
Right,
your boy Landry Jones is going to be out
there.
Yeah,
but Browns.
But yeah,
but
so
Browns.
But Browns.
And
Landry Jones.
Landry Jones played okay when they had to start him against the Patriots.
So
the offense moved.
He also had Brown out there.
Yeah, he had AB. You know what's interesting though too about the Cleveland Browns though? They got their win already, right?
I know.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's like
pressure's off.
Right. Exactly.
There's a reason they're starting RG3 again this week.
I mean, the way I look at the Browns is they play all their starters and their defense is bad. Or they play their reserves and their defense is more bad.
I mean, they already got their dub.
What's the margin of bad?
I mean, they got their W. I mean, are they really playing for anything? I mean, I think they've just given up on life.
If they lose, they get the first.
You got to lock in
draft,
that number one pick.
If they win and San Francisco wins.
So, I mean, San Francisco loses, which is likely because they're playing the Seahawks.
But if Cleveland wins, they don't. Either whatever the scenario is, they don't get the first.
Here's the thing,
pick,
but
right?
What I know,
no, San Francisco needs to lose if they win.
Oh, okay.
Which is like Alex said, is probably going to happen.
Well,
playing Seattle.
Anyways,
we're going into the weeds.
Let's get to
Spencer Kansas
Ware.
City. Spencer Ware,
Week 17.
He's got hurt ribs. He's a game time decision. Do you trust him?
Sounds like he's going to play.
Okay.
It sounds like that he's trending towards playing, and I do kind of like him in this spot against the Chargers.
Do you?
Yeah, I mean, the Chargers front seven is not super imposing. I would imagine they want to get him rolling before the playoffs. But then again, you know, he hasn't looked great. He has been banged up. And, you know, Charkandrick West has been out there as well, too. So it's kind of a risky play if you're looking at Spencer Ware. But I think this is a pretty solid contrarian bounce-back spot for him.
Spencer Ware just 79 rush yards short of 1,000 for the season.
Right.
Sure.
And I think he has some incentives in his contract.
He does, too. Yeah, our good friend TJ Hernandez from 4for4 was tweeting out some of those things. I think you're right. Ware was one of them.
Yeah, that's why I think he kind of makes for like a sneaky contrarian play in this.
I like that a lot. Money motivates, baby. In New York, Matt Forte, Bilal Powell, where are you going?
Nowhere.
Okay.
Forte's, isn't he officially out?
Yeah, I think so.
I think they're both not going to, I mean, they're both not going to play.
Yep.
And can you guys even tell me who's on the depth?
Brandon Wilds and
Brandon.
Another guy named Brandon.
I think one of those guys is hurt too.
Brandon Wilds? Where is Brandon Wilds from?
I don't know, James. You don't know his 40 time?
I don't know his 40 time.
Well, then he must not be of any relevance.
that's definitely not true. But
if James doesn't have him in his 40 database.
I would just stay away from the Jets offense in general.
Who do we got?
Oh, yeah, it is Brandon Wilds.
He went to South Carolina.
But he has a hamstring and didn't practice on Thursday.
Yes, he's so who's the fourth string guy?
Brandon Burks.
Brandon Burks? Man. Okay, so we're avoiding.
Which is too bad because this is a good spot.
So we're avoiding.
Against the Bills' run defense that has been really bad.
And they just lost their coach, and they've also given up on life.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, but I will say the Bills are probably pretty motivated to win this game, or at least Anthony Lynn's going to be really motivated to win this game because this is his only shot as a head coach. If he wins this game, he could.
Dude, EJ Manuel.
Well, that's their own damn fault for that.
Which
is pretty – that's just – I don't want to rail
make a quick aside.
I don't want to rail on the Bills here too hard, but poor Anthony Lynn gets his one shot at a head coach. You know, potentially this could be his big audition.
Right.
Let's saddle you with EJ Manuel.
Hey, there you go.
And Tyrod is hurt anyways.
Right.
He might get his
surgery.
He was back as a full participant in practice and was not on the injury report.
What? I thought Tyrod? Supposed to get off-season surgery.
I mean,
he's trying to get that money anyways, man.
Right. I think they made the good point on the ATN pod that that could have all been coming from the agent too.
Oh,
could be
posturing. Who knows? Anyways, EJ Manuel's starting. I would not play Sammy Watkins.
No,
really,
bro. It's EJ Manuel.
Yeah, but okay. Listen, EJ Manuel's not good, but EJ Manuel hasn't been throw up. He doesn't play with confidence. He hasn't been like throw up all over his shoes.
Not,
bad.
Not accurate. He loves throwing the football in the ground.
I know, but look, I think that. There's at least I would play Sammy Watkins. It's a great matchup against the Jets. And who else is he going to throw the ball to anyways? I mean, this is
Charles Clay, bro.
The ground, I don't know. I get it.
Oh, my God. You guys are cold-blooded.
Yeah. I get it. And I think EJ Manuel makes for, like, an interesting, you know, super value play in DFS as well. He can run a little bit.
I don't know.
You know, you just need a rushing touchdown.
That's true. That's a good point. He has some wheels, but I don't know. As far as what he does for the passing game, the last stuff he put on tape was not encouraging.
How about Charles Clay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe.
All right. We just got the shrug emoji from Wiz.
Yeah, we should move on.
Okay. But he's your boy.
He's not my boy. He's just, you know, identified the trend. I looked at the numbers, and he popped up the last couple of weeks.
Just look at the numbers.
In Houston, Lamar Miller is out, basically?
Yeah.
Seems that way.
He hasn't practiced Friday.
Alfred Blue?
Nope.
Nope.
You're not my boy, Blue.
What do you mean, no?
I mean, look, he's a volume play, but...
That's when he performs.
What do you mean, no?
I mean, I guess in a world where we're talking about Brandon Wilds, yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's the thing.
You just keep on denying these volume running backs.
No, but you know,
he's got Jeremy Hill syndrome.
Oh, great.
But didn't he?
Well, but Jeremy Hill is scoring fantasy points.
You know, the other thing is that he actually, because of the volume, he put up a decent day against Cincinnati.
15 points.
He scored a touchdown.
73 rushing yards and a touch.
Exactly. You'll take that all day long.
Last year, he had a couple of In the last three weeks of 2015, 20 carries for 107 yards, 15 carries for 45 yards, 21 carries for 102 yards. So if this is a game where they can keep competitive, which the Titans are really bad, they could even just smack the Titans around with Matt Castle.
Yeah.
If Blue's a threat for 20 carries, I think you got to play him.
Yeah.
I
agree.
In Pittsburgh, for the Patriots, rather, in New England. Malcolm Mitchell not looking like he's going to play. Bennett.
Which is, you know, because he's old as a rookie.
He's old.
There was a spicy pre-pod discussion about age of rookies and how often it gets brought up on this podcast. So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, how often, I'm sure.
Oh, boy.
franchise. The death stare.
Yes.
All right, let's get to
Marty
the point.
Bennett, Chris, Julian Edelman, limited.
Chris Hogan could be a good play this week.
Sure.
And, I mean, if Michael Floyd plays.
Man, do you dare?
Pats are playing for home field advantage, right?
They are. They have to lock it up, so they're not going to phone it in.
Lock it up!
If you have the nuts to play or, you know, the
Michael Floyd.
The gall, if you are a female.
Yes.
If you have the gall to do that. God bless you to play a bad receiver that just got to one of the most complicated offenses in the world.
Right.
Come on, how Belichick would that be, though?
I don't think that would be Belichick at all.
No, it would, because, I mean, come on, dude. I mean, we're talking about running backs that come off the street and run for 200.
It's different being a running back than being a receiver.
Yeah, and learning the Patriots offense in 2 weeks, probably.
I don't disagree.
Especially for a guy that is, you know, not shown that he's the best at that sort of stuff.
Anyways, Chris Hogan's the best play. I put Michael Floyd on more for kicks and giggles.
Yeah, right. Tom Brady was asked a bunch of questions about Michael Floyd in an interview today, and he said he's worked really hard to try to get up to speed. There's a lot to make up. a lot of time to try to make up, and he's worked pretty hard at it, but Tom Brady was like, I'm not going to make any predictions. Let's just see what happens.
Interesting DFS move, like, if you're playing week 17.
Yes.
I kind of like pairing Tom Brady and LeGarrette Blount in this game. I know that seems counterintuitive because Blount's not a pass catcher, but you're just you're hoarding all potential touchdown opportunities by doing that. And this is a defense that gave up over 500 yards of total offense to the Bills last week.
Hello.
Yep.
Okay. I like it. Let's move on. Let's talk about the various fan leagues that we set up this season.
Should I just leave during this discussion?
Yeah.
Humiliated myself.
We'll start with the OG League.
All right,
because
let's start with the OG
League. That's the one Marcus and I did last year as well.
Yes.
And, you know, so this league's been going on for 2 years. Not the same people. But we had a championship for the ages here.
Did you?
We
score
did.
Score of 103.26 to 101.
Oh,
wow, that's a nail biter.
2-point game.
Danica Starks, she had the
of the House of Starks.
House of Starks.
I like it.
Fell, unfortunately.
Of course she did.
Well, unfortunately. Congratulations to Jimmy Holub.
Okay.
He's an international listener.
Austria.
Right.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
I think Jimmy had some Star Wars references and stuff in his letter to Danny. Danica was the 2 seed. She fell to a wild card. Jimmy, who got hot at the right time. Marcus
Perfect.
Was in the playoffs, got
Perfect.
Bounced. I just missed the playoffs.
Yeah, I finished third. I won the consolation match.
Okay, good.
So, yeah.
So we represented our league well. The Beard League, however.
The
I
Bearded
think the
League.
Podcast
let's
participants
look.
Did not represent
let's,
so well.
Let's look. Let's look. Where are you guys at?
Start with the whole recap of the league, and I'll read off some sadness about my team.
Okay. So the final was the Battle of the Tylers. Both guys in the final were named Tyler.
Okay, good.
Tyler Park.
Smackdown.
Tyler Park ended up beating Tyler Sipes.
Okay.
By a score of 158-79.
Basically doubled up.
Hold on, who's on that dude's team?
He pretty much doubled up.
So the guy who won drafted Todd Gurley. Must be or maybe traded for him or something at some point. Started Todd Gurley.
Okay.
Had Jordy Nelson. Had Devontae Adams. Had
Hello.
Andrew Luck.
Hello.
But the guy who lost. Left Tyreek Hill on his bench.
Oops.
Left J.J. Nelson on his bench.
Well, that's understandable.
Who was the team that drafted Todd Gurley? Or had Todd Gurley?
The guy who won.
What was his name? What was his team name?
The Dream.
Yeah, he drafted Todd Gurley 7th
He
overall.
Drafted
Which,
him.
So,
so he
just,
drafted him, held him all year, and then...
As an aside, if you're seeing a bunch of stats out there being quoted, like 64% of the teams that drafted running backs in the first round won championships or you know whatever, you can miss me with that sort of analysis, because here's an example right there of somebody that took a big bust at running back in the first round. And that does not mean that, like, oh, you got to take a running back first to win.
Right.
Give me a break.
Yep.
But, yeah, myself and Harmon did not represent the Stronghold very well. Harmon,
all right, what's your
team? I think I was 2-11.
I went 7-6. I at least finished over 500.
You
Harmon
were in the mix, franchise.
I was in the mix a little bit.
But
Harmon,
you missed the playoffs.
I didn't even get in the playoffs.
Oh, boy.
Harmon went 2-11.
What?
Let me just read off
my draft pick by pick.
Oh,
bro,
God.
You went 2-11?
Let's find out why.
My God.
Well, okay. Rob Gronkowski, pick number 9
okay.
in the first round.
Oh, there you go.
Round 2, Brandon Marshall.
Oh.
Who I promptly traded in a deal. I think I traded him and Ryan Matthews.
Wait, hold on. What pick were you?
You were
late.
9 of 12.
You were 9 of 12. On the
so
turnaround
pick 16,
pick, you took
Brandon
Marshall.
Marshall.
Huh?
Bro, don't act like that was ridiculous at the time.
And yeah, James, this draft they were tilting throughout because all the players they would have wanted had a...
Oh, I see.
It was like first round tilt. They were like, oh, God.
Somehow also like
my draft was horrible.
I think I sent and then so anyway so then I'll talk about that. So T.Y. Hilton there round 3.
Yeah.
Round 4 Latavius Murray. Round 5 Tyler Lockett.
Oh.
This is where it gets bad. Round 6 Josh Gordon.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah. Round 7 Spencer Ware. That actually turned out pretty well.
That's not bad.
Round 8 Kamar Aiken.
Oh no.
So
wow.
This is like all my takes are just coming back to smack me in the face. Okay. Round 9, Isaiah Crowell, that's not bad. Round 10, Ty God. Round 11, DeAndre Washington, Devin Funchess. Round 12, Darren Sproles, 13.
That's not bad.
CJ Spiller, round 14. What the hell is going on?
Sure, why not? Wait, is this a PPR league?
I think we did half point.
Half point PPR. Oh.
Rams defense, Malcolm Mitchell, who probably got cut sooner thereafter, and then Mason Crosby, a kicker.
Woof.
Okay.
But and then like right after that, I think I swung a deal with the 2 Raiders backs. And Brandon Marshall for Alshon Jeffrey and Ryan Matthews.
Oh no!
And none of that worked out.
Yeah,
no.
My first 4 picks were Adrian Peterson,
ouch,
Dez Bryant, who I traded away.
Okay.
Jeremy Maclin.
Oh, no.
And Michael Floyd.
Oh, no.
Yeesh.
This was.
I still went 7-6 somehow.
Yeesh.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
This was the classic example of, you know, I've openly kind of admitted that, like, I did not enjoy playing fantasy all that much this year because, like, I just was too overwhelmed.
Because you got mashed in all.
Well, I got mashed in this league. That's for sure. This is not even close. Like, this is my worst league. Oh, my not God. Even close.
Well, I can't give that much worse.
Yeah, right, no, I mean, but like, God. It's a clear outlier of bad. I didn't have a great fantasy or anything. But
sure,
like,
sure.
This was a great example of like, just can't have too many teams, man. Because like, they start falling by the wayside. Like, it was like plenty of times Thursday afternoon. I'd be like, oh my God, I got all these players on bye. I need to go pick up. I started players like, I got guys like Matt Asiata and Andre Ellington and Cordero Patterson on this team.
Sweet.
Sweet. And that's what I'm having to pick those guys up. So just, yeah, there's a lesson for fantasy. Focus on
a couple.
James, tell us what happened in the Danger Zone League.
Oh, I just went in and just destroyed everyone. I mean, just blowtorch.
What was your record?
12-1.
Woo! Holy God.
Almost Woo! The inverse of me.
12-1, and I just rampaged the entire league.
Wow.
Question. We had the kid that rode in, so you whooped his dad in the final.
Oh, destroyed him.
So he doesn't get an Xbox.
Yeah, he gets nothing. Sorry, pal.
Learned a hard lesson about life, kid.
Sheesh.
Sorry.
No mercy.
Sorry, pal.
Listener to laugh at your child's expense.
Sorry, pal.
That's pretty funny.
That's what happens. Let's see here. I went 12-1. I made 5 moves all season.
Like as in ad drops?
Yeah, ad drops.
Wow. In a 16
team league.
Wow.
In a 16. Because you talk about, you know, focusing on what this was not my... This was not my focus of my draft, but here or my of my leagues. But this was my draft.
Holy!
By the way, I had picked 16 of 16. Okay, standard snake draft. This was a standard league, 6-point touchdowns for passing. That's the only. Oh, and you had bonuses, 300-yard bonuses for passing, 100-yard bonuses for receiving and rushing. Jordy Nelson, Alshon Jeffrey, 1-2. Then pick 48. I went Latavius Murray, DeSean Jackson, 3-4. Took Andrew Luck in the 5th, which is a huge, huge bargain,
dude,
considering it's a 16-team league with 6-point passing touchdowns. Hello. Give me some of that. Spencer Ware in round 6 as well, where Spencer Ware was interesting because half the league was like, why the hell did you do that? And the other half was like, brilliant pick.
That's kind of what ours was too.
6th round, that seems early, but I guess in a 16-team
it was
league.
It was pick 81.
So. Yeah.
So in a standard 10-team league, that'd be like round
8 or 9.
And he was your first running back?
No, Latavius
Second.
Murray.
Oh, Latavius, right.
Yeah, so my starting running back core at the start of the season was Latavius Murray and Spencer Ware, which was, at the time, not great.
Anyways, yeah. Congratulations, James.
12-1.
Well done dashing that child's dreams.
So. You hit on a lot of guys.
So basically, like...
No, but you know what the moral of the story is? We talk about fantasy, and we do all these analysis, and it's great, and we talk about all these numbers. But you know what's funny, though? A lot of it has to do with health. I look at Matt Harmon's team, and half his team just got ravaged by injuries or suspensions.
Mm.
I mean, Jeremy Maclin got hurt for a long period of time. Alshon Jeffrey, who you picked up or traded for or whatever, was suspended a good amount of games. I don't know, man.
Lockett, Matthews, Gronk.
And
exactly.
I mean, a guy like Jeffrey coming into this year, it was like, oh, man, he was targeted like on a per-route basis more than any other receiver in the NFL in 2015.
Right.
In 2016, his biggest problem was targets.
Yeah.
Like, and who would have seen that coming?
But, right.
You know, I mean, that's just the point of like all this BS about like experts or whatever. Give me a break, dude. We're drafting teams. We're letting the dice fall as they may. We're doing the most research we can to get out there. But you know,
but again,
day,
you do have to stay healthy.
Yeah, that's a big part of it too. But
a huge part of it is you got to stay healthy.
I would say the moral of the story here is that, you know, Franchise, Gelhar, Marcus, and myself were really giving to the fans. I mean, plenty of people out there are going to be able to go out there and say, man, I kicked Matt Harmon's ass all over the place in the fan league. I beat Marcus Grant in the playoffs. I you know, this, that, and the other. Some of the Danger Zone League. James Coe just thrashed me, and it didn't feel good.
You ruined that.
He ruined Christmas
for
your child.
You ruined that kid's Christmas.
So once again, we've proved.
Yes.
James Coate, not a man of the people.
Fantasy Krampus over here ruining Christmas.
I think that's the moral.
Blowtorch the league at 12-1. By the way, Adam Rank, out of the playoffs, finished 6-7. So
not bad.
Yeah, okay, that was fine. But again, 16-team league, a lot of crazy stuff can happen.
All right, let's get to these with a waiver wire pickup of the year.
Waiver wire pickup of the year. Here are your nominees: Matt Ryan, Robert Kelly, Tyrell Williams, Tyreek Hill, and Davante Adams. We'll start with Matt Ryan. He was your quarterback 2 on the year, 4,600 yards, 34 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 10 games of 19 or more points. That is awesome, man. He only had 2 games of 13 or less. So basically, he didn't have any weak killer games. He had almost no weak killer games.
Right.
But 10 times, he could have saved your week.
Right.
That is amazing. Robert Kelly, 671 rush yards, 82, receiving 753 total. That doesn't sound great, but since week 8, 4 double-digit performances, only 1 game of less than 5. I always focus on weak killer games. And Robert Kelly, since week 8, only killed you maybe 1 time. He had 7 total touchdowns.
Yeah.
Tyrell Williams, 989 on the year, 7 touchdowns, really consistent. This is a good pick because consistent all year, 8 double-digit performances, 5 of them in his last 7 games.
Finishes the wide receiver 12. Impressive.
Damn.
I remember talking about him when Keenan Allen went out. And we were like, oh, like, who's the next man up? This rookie. Well, he's not polished yet, and he's got a long way to go.
But pretty good.
Yeah, he came through, man.
Awesome.
Tyreek Hill. His stat line's so weird. He had 252 rush yards. He had 547 receiving yards, so just shy of 800 total yards. He had 9 total touchdowns. Since week 7, in 7 of his final 10 games, Hill scored 10 or more points. Pretty good. Davante Adams, also waiver wire material, 966 crazy receiving, 10 touchdowns. Really good. You think he had a super good season, and he did. 8 games of 10 or more points, but he also had 5 weak killer games of 4 or less.
Yeah.
So I will ask you, we'll start with MG, my guy Marcus Grant, who is your waiver wire pickup of the year?
I'm going to go with Tyrell Williams. I think Matt Ryan had a really good year, but I also think, you know, he got drafted probably in a lot of leagues. And
I don't think so, dude.
And, I don't know. I mean, I know that we tend to be of the, you know, draft one quarterback, but I know that, you know, a large percentage of the general fantasy playing public will draft 2 quarterbacks.
Sure.
In this case, he got drafted in a lot of leagues. But Tyrell Williams, it's crazy to think, you know, because you talk about the Chargers, and the first thing I think we think about is Keenan Allen going down in the first half of game 1.
Right.
Tyrell Williams actually had a pretty good week 1, and he was pretty solid all the way through. And
he
remember,
was.
This
Very
is the
consistent.
Guy. This is the guy after week 1, we're talking about him, and we're like, you know, who is this guy? What can he do? I went, you know, digging through YouTube to try to find highlights of him at Western Oregon, you know, just to try to find something about the
hard.
Guy. It was hard.
Yeah,
it was really hard, but he played really well, very, I won't say quietly, but I think it got to the point where late in the year, you're just like, oh, yeah, Tyrell Williams. Like, we didn't talk much about him because you just knew he was going to be consistent. So he's my guy.
I like it. He was really, really good. And again, that consistency through the year, I think, is a strong case as to why he should be waiver wire pickup of the year. But WizKid from Wisconsin, give me your choice.
Oh, man. I think it'd have to be Tyreek Hill just because he was so consistent, like, once he was added, basically. You know, he popped off, and it was like, oh, maybe we should add this guy. And then after that, it was basically like, every week he's a starter. And not to mention, in leagues that you get points for return touchdowns, which is not a standard scoring thing, but a lot of leagues do that, he also added 2 of those bad boys, too.
It's true.
So I liked his consistency and that it was just always double digits.
Yeah, 7 of his final 10 games.
I kind of wanted to lean Davante Adams because, like, he did have those.
Homer.
He did have those bad weeks. But it was a player where, like, you knew that was in his range of outcomes, but you also knew he had just
off.
A game-winning week.
It's a spike week player.
Yeah, nobody wanted Davante Adams this year either.
Yeah. We talked about that last podcast.
It was amazing.
It's like wide receiver 60 ADP or something.
Yeah.
And he's the wide receiver 9 right now. Insane.
Franchise, give me your pick for waiver wire pickup of the year.
I'm going to go – I would go Jordan Howard.
I was going to say, when are we going to talk about the snubs?
Yeah. Oh,
well, you know,
totally snubbed Jordan Howard.
No, because I didn't put Jordan Howard in because in a lot of leagues he was being drafted, especially when you got closer to the end of the preseason.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Because there was so much negative press about
– Langford.
About Langford that a lot of guys were starting to
– But I think Langford actually had a good preseason, and like I started to kind of buy into the Langford thing in the preseason.
If he didn't get hurt, this would have been a different deal. Right.
I don't know. I agree that I thought Jordan Howard,
but like I said, the only reason I didn't put Jordan Howard had an awesome year, and I don't want to say out of nowhere, but yeah, I mean basically out of nowhere. But I didn't think he was a waiver wire guy. That's all.
I would argue that he was, but whatever. I mean, what the crazy thing about Jordan Howard, just what we're talking about him, was how good he ended up becoming. Like, because it's one thing to be like, oh, yeah, you're going to get, like, some nice little production of Jordan Howard, but he ended up becoming a great threat as a pass catcher.
Yeah.
Nearly 300 yards receiving, just shy of 1,200 rushing.
50 targets.
I mean, he probably will crack all of those this weekend.
Yep.
So, I mean, pretty crazy just
consistent.
What kind of a monster he became once he was truly the feature back there.
Yeah.
But anyways, continue.
Okay. So,
of the list, though, that we have here, I would go Tyreek Hill.
Okay.
Just because this dude is so explosive. He only needs to get the ball in his hands one time, and he rips off 50-yard touchdowns every time. He's fast as hell.
Isn't that the funny thing? Like, it's not like he got a high usage rate.
No.
That's people were constantly expecting the, you know, when is the regression going to take
place? Right. He can't do this again. And, like, he can't do
that
again.
And that's why I liked him, because even though his usage was low, you were like, this guy is a big play waiting to happen. He's going to do it. Not like Adams, where maybe Nelson's going to get 13 targets, or maybe if Cobb's healthy, he's going to get 10 targets.
By the way, how crazy is it that it was the Jeremy Maclin injury at the time was, it's like, oh no, Jeremy Maclin is there. He's their best playmaker on the outside.
He wasn't doing anything before he got injured.
No, I know that. But I'm just saying he goes down, and if you're a casual football fan, you're thinking, oh man, the offense is really going to take a hit here.
Yeah.
But it was such a blessing in disguise, was it not?
Yeah.
It allowed for the emergence of Tyreek Hill, and it absolutely transformed their offense.
It reminded them that they also have Travis Kelce on their offense.
Jeremy Maclin, one of the most disappointing players of the year.
I think so.
And I thought he had a really good outlook coming into this year, and I know everybody's going to be like, hindsight, like, oh, LOL, Chiefs, like, ha, ha, ha. But, you know, he was great last year. He had he was super consistent, had a high ownership percentage of the market share, the target share. 40 catches, 483 yards, 2 touchdowns, and he played 11 games.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Sad.
Quite sad.
Matt Harmon, your pick for waiver wire pickup of the year.
I agree that Jordan Howard, I think, should be on the list, but of these guys here, I'm going to go with Matt Ryan simply because, you know, he might have been a late round draft pick.
By the way, in my 16 team league, he was pick number 201.
Yeah, so I mean, that's what I'm saying. People were, and I count myself among them, were way off of Matt Ryan last year. But you know, he did start the year with the Bucks, the Falcons, the Bucks, the Raiders, and the Saints.
Yeah.
So, and he was like really like prime streaming quarterback material, but I think the understated goal of streaming quarterbacks is to, you know, not stream them. You know,
right.
Our friends at the Living Stream podcast say that all the time. Like, you want to hit on one of these guys that starts off as a streamer and then ends up becoming
an every week
starter. And that's exactly what happened with Matt Ryan. You mentioned super consistent, had great spike weeks, all that sort of thing. So he would be my guy.
And J.J. Zacharyson was on Matt Ryan this year.
As
a bounce back. Last year was like a career worst. It also kind of shows you, like, it was his second year in Shanahan's offense, and it kind of shows you, like, maybe when you're doing your draft and you have, like, a tiebreaker thing between one guy or another, consider if it's a new offense and maybe they need a year to develop or whatever.
I agree.
Especially a veteran quarterback that has mostly been just a five-step drop,
yep.
You know, that Kyle
Shanahan. Because even at Boston College, that's what he did. He was a 5-7-step drop guy, and that's why when Mike Smith, you know, had that offense in Atlanta, it made a lot of sense.
It did.
But
Dirk Cutter is exactly that type of coordinator.
Right. But it was not I've said this over and over again. They modernized his game.
Right.
And as a result, he's a big, tall, strong arm, you know, quarterback.
Athletic.
Exactly. When you mix in all of those things, it's not totally surprising that he put that in. All right, here's my vote. I also vote for Matt Ryan. Nice. Again, for all the reasons Matt Harmon listed out. But we're going to go back to MG. So we got
to have the tiebreaker.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We've got two votes for Tyreek Hill. We've got two votes for Matt Ryan. MG, be the tiebreaker.
Change your vote.
Wait.
Of those two, who is your waiver wire pickup of the year?
I'm going to go Matt Ryan just because.
We win.
Just Bingo. Because from start to finish, he was, you know, Tyreek Hill was great. He was more back half of the season. Matt Ryan was start to finish.
All year.
Legit.
Wow, what an achievement.
Right. So congratulations, thanks, Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan, your waiver wire pickup of the year. But this was the real reason we got together for the podcast today. We are voting on the best, the fieriest, the hottest franchises.
Oh, here boy. We go.
All right, here we go. I hope you're all prepared for this. You guys know what time it is, right?
Is it
prepare yourself?
Yes!
It's franchise's fiery phone-in of the week.
My fire take is that Alfred Morris gets revenge on the Redskins.
Revenge!
Revenge!
November
4th. I'm outside in the sun. You guys know what sun is made of?
No.
Fire! My lock of the week. Is Tim Hightower versus the 49ers' awful defense? You know what Hightower did last week, guys? He ran for over 100 yards. You know who the Saints' last 100-yard rusher was? Tim Hightower last year in Week 16 against the Jaguars, winning fantasy titles.
Hey, there's so much fire. There's so much fire. There's sirens in the background.
The fire trucks are coming to put them out.
They're trying to hose me down, guys. Out here. No, I don't need help. It's okay.
October 21.
Give me your lock of the week, pal.
CJ Anderson. Next.
What's your bust of the week, dude?
Jay Ajayi. Next.
Your fire take, por favor.
Derrick Henry is my sleeper. Next.
Okay. Do we have a fire take?
No fire, just name. Franchise out.
He just hung up.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh.
Wow. True. I love it.
Move on from here?
Well, we're going to talk about deep sleepers.
Pick up the pieces of this shattered podcast now.
Oh, my God. You know what? In a way, that was his most fiery phone ever.
I know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he came in and just shattered the podcast.
He was literally just standing in the flames like CJ Anderson, Derrick Henry, Jay Ajayi. Franchise out.
November 11.
No pants.
No pants. Let's go. Let's talk about your lock of the week. Will you?
No pants.
What was that?
It's a siren.
That's the no pants siren.
I am scared to ask you what your fire take of the week is. This has been fire on.
Fire take coming in. All right.
Oh, boy.
Running back Peyton Barber. Is going to be a running back one this week.
Whoa!
Shane Barber's still hanging out in your waiver wire for some reason. Go pick him up and start him this week. I'm not scared that Doug Martin's coming back. So that's it.
Here's my question.
Is that annoying?
No, it's great. Here's my question. I have one question for you. Did you go and buy that for this
segment? No, listen, I bought this... Look, we live in Southern California, right? So the danger of earthquakes is real. I bought this as it's actually a solar-powered safety emergency radio that has an alarm and a blinker on it and all
you
kinds
are,
of stuff.
You are such a hipster. This is great.
No, I'll be at the top of Runyon Canyon with my siren on so that the rock who will be flying helicopters around can find me. I'll think he'll save me just like he did in San Andreas.
Wow. It was...
What a trip down memory lane.
Going through these podcasts, let me tell you, first of all, I spent hours combing through this crap.
You had to have. That's intense.
It was ridiculous. I was laughing my butt off, though.
Yeah.
But I will say this, man. Going through these phone, like going through these old podcasts, that was, who thought of this? Because that was the best. It's my favorite segment of the podcast, period.
I don't remember you were like, franchise, we have to have you on the pods even on Fridays when you were out. And
yeah.
I guess we just kind of were like, oh, we'll have you be fiery and call in.
I didn't think of the fiery phone in though. See, I was like, hey, you should just call in and we'll do a segment.
It just started as Franchise's Phoner originally.
Right. Yeah, that's what it was. And then somehow,
and then
it
I think
into
the first
the...
one I did, I got crazy and it was like, feed Isaiah Crow out.
Oh, that's right.
You really got into it.
Yeah.
Man.
You became the character.
Yeah. It was by far the best segment of the year.
I'm not sure what the success rate was.
It doesn't matter.
My picks.
It doesn't matter. Hey, I don't know.
I re-listened to Fantasy Therapy the other day.
Oh, dude,
and
hysterical.
I was dying.
Yeah.
But your phone-ins are great. But now we have to vote.
Okay. We got to vote. Here's your three choices, okay? You had the real fire siren that came on.
Yeah.
You had the short phoner. Or you had the fake siren. Those are your three choices. And we will go to MG, my guy, Marcus Grant. Which one do you vote for?
Man. I'm going to vote for the real siren. Just because, I mean, it was so perfectly done. I mean, we didn't stage that.
No, not at all.
At all.
And, not at all.
You know, the other part of it, the fake siren, is that it was on a day when Franchise was actually here.
I know, he went upstairs.
And to fulfill the bit, he walks out of the studio and goes up to the roof of the parking structure to call in.
Right.
And then the sirens go by. I mean, it was the perfect storm. So that's my vote.
It was so good. It was good. I think that was the hardest we laughed in the podcast during one of these phoners. Matt Harmon, your pick.
The real fire one is great. Although I think I'm going to go – I think I'm going to vote – with just the just names.
Well, yeah.
I think I'm going to go for sneaky funny because it also showed a little bit of vindictiveness from Franchise.
That's true.
He took heat from you, James, for like explaining too much during, like you just reading too many facts and information. So the next day he's just, all right, that's the way he's going to play it.
Oh, yeah.
CJ Anderson, next.
I had like a 12-minute Darren Sproles rant
right.
one day. And
it like,
was
oh,
like, you need to tone it back, buddy.
It might have also been the time because you like recorded one. You were going to be gone and you sent it in and I put it on the board and I even chopped it up, but it was still like 4 or 5 minutes long. And I was like, man, that's too long.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I think that's my favorite.
That was really great. I listened back to that one. And the thing was, I was totally clueless as to why Franchise was coming in with the one name takes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I found out later it was because I had talked about, I think it was because of the Darren Sproles thing.
Yeah.
Because the previous week I had listened to that phone and I was like, man, he keeps going on. But I thought it again. Actually, I was like, oh my God, he keeps going with the Darren Sproles thing. It's great. But no, I didn't realize that at the time. That's why I was cracking up. I was like, where is this coming? It was so unexpected.
Yeah.
Next.
It was great. WizKid.
No fire, just takes. just names.
Just names.
Just names.
Out. Oh, man.
Those are three really good ones.
I'm having such a hard time deciding.
Tough.
I think I have to give it to the real siren though too because Franchise is his improv in that moment too.
Oh,
and he's
my
like,
God.
"No, guys, I'm okay." Like, as firefighters,
yeah, that was
were actually
great.
There trying to hose him down because he's engulfed in flames somewhere in Los Angeles,
standing in the sun.
How crazy! I'm gonna vote for that one too.
Yeah,
the real siren for me is the winner.
The short phoner was a close second for me though.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
The real siren was just all perfect. Like I was going on this Tim Hightower rant. The Hightower rant itself was good, and then the fire truck goes by, and I was just like perfect.
Franchise, if you could vote for one, which one would you vote for?
Real siren.
Real siren.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a landslide.
Yeah, just was too good to be true.
Had to make the argument for another one, but that's pretty tough to beat that.
Yeah.
Especially the, I'm good, thanks.
I'm good. We were dying. We were straight dying.
None of us knew how it was going to work, like you said, because you were here, so we're like, let's just kick you out of the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Call
you on yourself.
Outside.
Yeah, it was great.
Magic happened.
I love it. I love it. By the way, I tried to make that as intense as possible.
It was awesome.
Oh,
thank you for cutting that.
Yeah, the music in the background was pretty dope.
That was really awesome. And the dates?
Oh, yeah.
November 24th.
Yeah. Don't even. Oh, love it. I'm going to give you a copy of that, pal.
Yeah, please.
Okay.
Send me that file.
Right.
That'll go in my sizzle reel.
All right, so there you go. Your real siren phone take was your fiery.
Tell us your favorites on Twitter and stuff, folks, too.
Yeah.
Or leave a review on iTunes.
Please
tell us your favorite.
Some of you guys already hit me up on Twitter, and I do appreciate that. Oh, my gosh. I did promise to shout people out. You know what? I'm going to have to do that next week.
Next week. We'll get it next week.
This will be a kind of a recurring theme over the next few weeks because, well, quite frankly, there's not a whole lot to a lot of fantasy to talk about. So we're going to stroke our own egos and do a lot of podcast
We're going to do some of those. We'll probably put together an awards show, which would be fun. I mean, we gave out a couple awards here, but some other bits. We got to just take the time now that there's less fantasy numbers to look at.
Oh, man, are there though? I can't stop looking at the numbers though, bro.
I mean, we got to
look at them.
Take a bit of a break before we start looking to 2017.
Okay, all right,
good. Unless you're Mike Clay, who's a madman and already has out way,
he has
too,
his, I know.
Way too early 2017.
Yeah, that's insane.
Like, kudos to Mike Clay. That's like,
he's a machine.
If they would have been like Gelhar, put out 2017 rankings, I would have turned in my badge and just walked.
Seriously, I couldn't imagine something I care less about than 2017 rankings.
Man,
I know I'm going to get that itch soon. Like,
I'm not going to get the itch to put players in arbitrary order.
Can I do this though? I'll say this: the rankings. This is what I realized about rankings this year.
Oh, great. Here we go. Rankings discussion.
It's a little bit of a rant because the rankings, to me, it's like, does it really matter?
It doesn't.
I mean, like,
no.
If you rank your guys every single week, first of all, for people who don't do the rankings, you have to understand how tedious that is. It is an absolute bear. And quite frankly, it doesn't really matter because when you are looking at your own roster, you're trying to make a decision between like one or two spots.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So there's like three or four guys you're considering at most every single week.
Right.
Right.
And there's variables that go into play with those rosters that rankings don't speak to because it's
that's what I'm saying.
Do you need the floor play? Does this guy have more upside? Like, what's this or that? And like, you know,
is it going to be a combo play? Like, do I have Andrew Luck? Do I want to play, you know, Philip Dorsett as a sleeper? I don't know.
Yeah. And that's why people hit us up on Twitter.
And yeah, exactly. So like, I don't know why. I mean, like, you know, so for me, I just feel like I don't even know why I don't do rankings. Thank God. Thank God nobody's asked me to do rankings. And first of all, I would be like, I don't know about that one. But you guys do rankings, and I know you guys get crap for it, which I'm just kind of like, listen, guys, the rankings don't freaking matter, man.
Yeah, I respect the hustle of the people that put a ton of time and effort into their rankings and, you know,
like,
stat things
John
out.
John Paulson at 4-for-4
right,
is
sure.
always some really good. And
some of the guys at PFF are great. I know our friend Jake Seeley typically has really great rankings. And if that is your thing, good for you. I don't expect everybody to share my opinion on rankings. I think there are some people that would thoroughly disagree with me, and that's completely fine. My opinion on rankings has always been, don't give a damn. It's not my thing that I'm going to be good at. I think it completely lacks the context that needs to be put behind these sort of decisions, and it's a cheap way for people to go in and be like, yeah, they've got this guy ranked here, then I should play this guy over that guy. Things rarely come down to that sort of decision-making process, which is why I've never given a lot of effort into rankings, and I won't until somebody tells me otherwise.
There's so many variables. And again, this is not to denigrate the people who actually do spend a lot of time on rankings.
No.
But I just want to say that the guys in this podcast have to pump out so much content, and a lot of the content is very nuanced. It's deep research, and it doesn't necessarily go into their quote-unquote rankings. But if you do spend a lot of time on rankings, hey, man.
That's your thing. That's good for you.
More power to you. That's cool. I'm not trying to downplay the hard work that it takes to put those rankings together, but it's such a bear.
Yeah.
It is such a bear. And I know you guys get some crap for your
whatever.
For your
that rankings. I'm not worried about. Whatever. Not until somebody that matters tells me that, hey, you need your rankings are bad and that needs to fix. Some random Twitter user, again, if you think that that's important, that's fine. I don't.
I refer you to my Friday morning mini Twitter rant.
Yeah. Marcus already covered it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You had some thoughts.
Yeah, he had a good one.
I had
thoughts.
Right.
But anyway, should we Daily Dap?
Daily Dap and get out.
Extra, read all about it.
This is the Daily
Daps and Hooks. Give me daps because I'll be scribbling right.
Give me dapping up daps about daps.
All right, Daily Dap time. WizKid from Wisconsin, what do you got?
All right, well, mine is I stumbled upon this thread from a guy named Chris. I know you're going to be like, ew, thread, Harmon. But
I was not.
Really
I was just
cool.
going to let it go, but now you brought it up and made it weird.
He's at Chris Arnade, at Chris underscore Arnade. I'll retweet the thread soon. But this guy used to trade he has a PhD. He used to trade bonds and stuff. And then I think a handful of years ago, he stopped doing that. And he has been – he just travels the country. He's a photographer and a freelance writer.
Cool.
And he put together this epic thread It's, I think it, they said it's over 100 tweets long. I didn't get all the way through it.
What?
But it's just of photos and of people he met in poor parts of America and talked to and kind of their stories and stuff. And it is fascinating. Like, it's so cool and it's eye-opening. And he did this – it's just really tremendous look and it's this really cool snapshot of America. Not like New York, L.A., politics, whatever. Like, the real people in this country. So it's super, super cool. Has a lot of great insight into different people and different struggles and different things that are going on in the country. And, like, there's, you know, like, small-town mayors. He talked to, like, I think a senator or, like, a mayor from Selma and Alabama and all sorts of stuff. It's just super fascinating. So daily daps to him for doing this. And you know, he wanted a change in his life. I read a little profile of him, too. And it's just – it's super, super cool.
How interesting. All right. Who was that guy again?
At Chris Arnade or Arnade. At Chris, C-H-R-I-S underscore A-R-N-A-D-E.
All right, there you go. Franchise, give me a daily dap.
I'm going to daily dap the locker room wars that Zeke and Dak Prescott have been having in the last week or two.
Great.
They're pretty fun.
Like, people take the NFL way too seriously. And at the end of the day, it's a game. And, yeah, these guys are winning, so it's a little lighter in their locker room. But they're two rookies, two kids just, like, having fun with each other.
It's
Zeke's firing spitballs.
It's the best.
He's asking Dak. Dak stuffed his helmet full of M&Ms.
Yeah.
And they go online and watch the videos, and it's just kind of refreshing because – in the newsroom, everything's so serious sometimes. And then you see these clips of these players who are some of the best in the league, and they're just kids having fun, and it's just really refreshing.
It's really cool to see two rookies bond like this, too.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And kind of growing together. And, man, I think, you know, I think they keep each other loose. I mean, we've seen video of them partying and everything, and I don't know. I just, you know, they keep each other loose, and it's great to see.
Yeah, and
it's great camaraderie.
It kind of goes along the lines of, like, Cam Newton last year. Like, he was just having fun, and he got so much flack for it. And
yeah.
It's like, come on, man. Let these guys have fun once in a while.
I like it. I will piggyback off of that. You guys saw this viral video that's going out, right, of the WCW wrestler Sting? Doing motivational,
I heard of
have
it.
Not yet
motivational speaking over at the Cowboys facility. I'm a big pro wrestling, or was a big pro wrestling fan, and just kind of them how they incorporated him into this video. It was really well done. I don't know. Sometimes these promotional videos, the social media things that the NFL puts out, not always the best. I should just say sporting leagues in general don't necessarily put out great social media content. This was great. This was really, really well done. It's kind of done in the vein of This is SportsCenter, you know, where it's kind of ironic and dry humor a little bit. And I don't know. It's really, really well done. If you just Google Sting Cowboys video, you'll find it. It's really good. Daily daps to them. Oh, by the way, I thought you were going to daily dap Winter Garden, Alex Gilhart.
Oh, no. That thing's sick, too.
You put me on to that Winter Garden where a guy builds a machine that rotates these marbles, and the marbles hit various instruments and makes them play.
That is crazy.
It is awesome.
It's like this huge thing that's built out of wood, right?
Right. And the way it works is he turns a little a crank, and you could totally tell this is a handmade machine. He actually has a behind-the-scenes thing on this. But Winter Garden, I think if you Google Winter Garden marbles, you will find the YouTube video. And the funny thing is, it's a really good song, too.
Oh, it's awesome. It's gorgeous. Like, I saw it, or somebody tweeted it to me. I think I tweeted out something that was like, oh, this should put a smile on your face. And the guy's like, oh, this too. And I was like, what is this? I've never seen this before.
It's madness.
It's insane.
It's absolute madness. It's great. You need to Google that. Winter Garden marbles. Go Google that.
Marble.
MG by Guy Marcus Grant. What you got?
I don't really have much of anything. I just wanted to daily dap. Like, no, seriously. I just wanted. It's the end of the year. It's the end of the season. It's been a wild year, up and down.
Oh yeah.
Daily dap you guys. You know, because you guys certainly helped me through this season. And daily dap to all the listeners, all the followers, everybody who kind of hung around with us and dealt with our goofiness all year long.
Quite goofy.
Yeah, you know, because I feel like you know, we got to sort of meet a lot of you. I meet air quotes.
Sure.
Know, over the social media. You know, circuit, but to meet a lot of you, and a lot of you are really, some of you are really weird, some of you are a little bit, little bit creepy. Not
you
gonna
fit
lie,
right in.
But I appreciate all of you.
And I do. I appreciate you guys in here, too, because, hey, we were kind of all in this together.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that's it. Daily Dap.
Happy, I like it.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. Couldn't have done it without you guys. I love you.
I like it. Week 17. Here we are.
Love you too, MG.
All right, let's go. Matt Harmon, my guy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to kind of piggyback off that. That's what I was going to say as well. I tweeted about this last night. But Daily Daps to the positive parts of 2016, because I think a lot of us will look back on this year, and maybe justifiably so, in a negative fashion.
Yeah.
For one reason or another, or many reasons or another's. That's not a word. But I think it's important to give props and to give credit to the positive things that happened this year. And I think for us in this room, you know, we get mired down by the season and the slog that it can be, but a lot of good happened to the five people here in this podcast studio. I think it's important for us to focus on that, and for you guys out there, I'd encourage you to do the same thing, however you want to do that.
Right,
remember 2016 in a positive fashion,
because
it wasn't all negative, and okay, you know, it's important to remember that. So Daily Daps are the good parts about 2016, whatever that may be, and a lot of that is you guys listening and following along and making this thing a real treat.
Going through the podcast also reminded me of how much this podcast has kind of morphed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From last season. And it's been cool to see. You know what I mean? Like, we really started hitting our groove in like week six, when we started having our normal thing that we do on the podcast. And it's been a lot of fun. So, yes, I totally agree with that. But the chemistry that's been built over the podcast, over this particular season, really this particular season, I think has been great. So, it's year number two?
Year number two.
Year number two
of the podcast return, right?
As we know it in this form.
Yeah. So, there you go. I like it.
You guys rock. I love you guys.
Love you guys.
On next week's show, we'll talk about what On Pace is on pace for, Mark Ingram. We'll talk about Marvin Jones. March 1100 is dead, but we'll give you a update there, and we'll talk about Brandon LaFell versus Tyler Boyd.
Woo!
Oh boy. For MG, my guy Marcus Grant, Matt Harmon, Matt Franciscovich, and the Whiz Kid from Wisconsin, I'm James Coe. See ya.
Happy New Year.
We never said, like, listen, bench Malcolm Mitchell because he's old for rookie.
Yeah, but you bring it up every time, and it just doesn't matter.
This is
literally the first time I ever remember talking about it on this podcast.
We've talked about Devontae Booker, who said he's, like, old for
rookie. Yeah, and you've said it about David Johnson, too.
But that matters for, like, in a couple of years. Like, are they really going to invest that much in Devontae Booker because he's already old?
He's old.
They don't have to make that decision for another how many years, though?
What do you mean?
When he's even
older.
I'm
talking about, like, why would you go into next year with, like, any thought that, like, oh, this guy can definitely, you know, he can still compete to be our starter. Like, he's already old for our second-year player.
He's only a second-year player. Why wouldn't they let him compete for the job?
Guys, breaking, Chris Ivory is questionable.
He's always questionable.
Womp, womp.
I didn't realize this struck such a note with you, franchise.
Every time a player comes up,
it's because he's old.
I was going to say, is it old? Is it because you're old for a third-year fantasy
writer? You just keep saying it, and it doesn't matter.
Nobody keeps saying that.
You keep saying it.